All right, moving on to level two, after we've had that joyful, wonderful excitement of really understanding that Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, is real and he really cares about us and he's there for us, that early enthusiasm doesn't always stay. It's kind of a honeymoon kind of thing for a lot of people. But at some point, there are those who become much more serious about their faith. What was that like? What do we remember when we moved to that kind of period?
I remember that getting into that stage, that not only did I expect of God, but I began to realize that there may be some expectations he may have of me. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a change in that stage.
Oh, yeah. I come from a background where, you know, we didn't do any personal devotions or any personal Bible reading time in my family. And the only Bible study that we did was real brief at my congregation. So I remember when I entered into this study to become a teacher of the Word, that I actually started reading the Bible for the first time.
That's in there.
Oh, my goodness. I started to read it from Genesis 1:1 on, not skipping chapters, not skipping around, and
even through the begets?
Oh, yeah. And I started realizing, oh, my goodness, do I have a lot that needs to be cleaned up? And I remember when that understanding dawned on me, I was like, where do I start? Where do I start? And I picked something that I thought was going to be the easiest starting place, and it was difficult, you know. And I just remember praying, God, you know, this is really hard, and I know that you desire me to change the way I speak. It has to do with the words I used. And I said, you really need to help me here. So it was not just to help me do this prayer, but with an understanding that there was an expectation on God's part,
yes,
that he really didn't want me to be using foul language or inappropriate language. And that was the first thing I tackled, and that was, wow, that was something. But he was good to me. He was good to me. Mm-hmm. And the people that I worked with, they all came to the same conclusion at the same time that I was coming to it, that we all needed to clean up our language in the office. And so I really do see that as God preparing that for me. He knew I was going to come to that understanding, and he arranged things for me in his sovereignty to help me along.
So it sounds like that was a development of humility that maybe wasn't present in that first stage, that you were becoming more humble under him.
Yeah, but just, you know, getting into the Word and reading what he expects really was a huge thing for me.
I think that's a big part of it, that this next stage is all of a sudden realizing, oh, God expects something of me too, not just me expecting him to gimme kind of thing.
Right.
But you know, he's expecting, and he does it in such a wonderful way. It's not, at least in my experience, you know, God didn't come down and say, no, you must be this person and that's all there is to it. I mean, he's a gentleman. He knocks at the door. He doesn't knock the door down.
Right.
And I think one of the things that in this stage that really hit home to me was, I think of it as like a separation anxiety. All of a sudden, I realize, you know, there's those times when I felt, where are you, God? You know, because it wasn't always just that instantaneous answer. Mm-hmm. And just like the mother with a child, you know, when they're an infant and they cry, boom, you're right there. But as they're growing and becoming more independent, the mom is not necessarily going to go just run to that child and say, oh, it's okay, you know, but they're going to expect the child to come to them sometimes. And
and when the parent begins to say, no, that's not something you can do.
Exactly. Yes. You don't want to hear that necessarily.
Right,
For me, it was, I think, also a time of learning more trust,
going into that child stage and developing trust with him. Because I remember praying, I'm not witnessing enough. I need to be out there witnessing, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, over and over and over in my head. And finally one day it was just like, oh, God, you know when I'm going to be ready to do this. You're the one that's going to do this in me. I need to trust you instead of continuing, help me, help me, help me. It was that slow transition to reliance upon him.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that we're always so used to having a yes answer coming out of that new believer stage that we don't understand until we get to this stage, that there are other responses to our prayers, like no and not yet, or my favorite one that I learned, which just was, Marcia, you mentioned epiphany as a word, wrong question, ask again. I remember when it's like, oh my goodness, I was praying for my daughter. I really wanted her to go to a Christian high school, and she was giving me a lot of flack about it. And so I kept praying, God, make her want to go to this school. And this went on for a good year. And I kept praying, change her heart, make her go to this school. And Heather would waver and come back and waver and come back, and I wasn't getting anywhere. And all of a sudden I realized I was asking the wrong thing. And I'll never forget that day. I was just kind of sitting there going, well, duh. And I said, forgive me, because I have been trying to impress my will upon you, Father. I release my daughter to you, and your will be done in her life. Where do you want her to go to school? And then it was my attitude that changed. It wasn't necessarily that my daughter's attitude changed, but my attitude changed.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you combined a couple of levels of growth in that.
That was just a big one. But that wrong question, understanding that we can be asking for the wrong thing if it's not in the Father's will for our life. You know, we shouldn't be expecting a yes answer to something that's not within his will.
And yet, for somebody who's just beginning to be serious about their faith, there's that really strong sense of idealism and the youthful, Superman is invincible, you know. And so, you know, I already understand this, and I have a relationship with God. And so you can get kind of disappointed and very easily discouraged. Why am I not getting what I want? Why isn't it happening the way I thought it should? So for you, Janelle, when you got to that point, and then you said, forgive me, I'm trying to impose my will, you were recognizing that.
I do have to admit that it didn't stay with me as a lesson all, you know, from that point on, that there's still a lot of that I want that was going on, that although recognizing it that first time made it easier to recognize later on, but there were still lots and lots of instances that cropped up where I still hadn't fully learned that lesson.
Sure. I think any time we try to put some kind of structure and understanding, we have to recognize that we're never going to stay fully in one level. We're going to scoop back and forth quite
a bit. Sometimes I think we need to realize, too, that sometimes we take what we interpret as, well, this must be God's will, like that your daughter go to a Christian school. So you might not even actually be thinking, well, this is my will and I want him to just bless me on my will. But you might be thinking, well, this obviously must be God's will. So that, you know, and sometimes we have to step back and take a look at, well, what are we praying about? Because, you know, sometimes there's like a misinterpretation of what scripture says.
Yes.
And sometimes there's a misinterpret, you know, our own imposing of, well, this obviously must be God's will. And it's not always
not so clear.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I think, too, it's sometimes we give it to him, but we grab it back.
We give it to him, and we grab it back.
And that would be the bungee cord.
Bungee cord. We don't want to quite let go, and that's part of that growing in trust and faith in him.
Bungee prayer.
This, when you look at the child level of development too, one of the comments in the maturity chart is that it's a time when parents need to encourage children to do the hard thing.
Yep.
I'm thinking of my daughter in dance lessons and piano, you know, when she was getting too hard and it wasn't fun, and having to keep encouraging her. Well, you have to get the technique down and then you get to the joy part, but just, you know, hang in there. And I think that it's true in our prayer life too. If we have become serious about our faith, but things don't go the way we think they should, it's very easy to fall under that kind of condemnation. Or thinking that there's something wrong with me, or God's just not doing what I need, therefore there's something wrong with him, you know, and it's easier to fall away. I thought about that too, that as we were, and Janelle, you were saying the things you have to clean up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's the sense of becoming serious about your faith, realizes that God might have a remodeling job that he needs to do.
Yes.
Inside of me. And so we have to be aware that we have to let things go.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of us, that feels a little bit like a death. If I have to let go the way I thought about something or the way I do things, ooh. And if you don't have that persistence built up yet and the confidence that grows step by step, it's very hard to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
It is. I just remember even starting out with the language, thinking that that would be the easiest thing. And after several weeks of stumbling, making progress, but just stumbling and just being frustrated with it, because it wasn't being cleaned up instantaneously, that, you know, I remember driving home from work one day going, God, this is what I consider the easiest thing. Oh, my goodness. You know, what is everything else going to be that needs to be cleaned up, just the things that I could immediately think of in my life that needed to be cleaned up, not the things that I didn't even know needed to be cleaned up.
And looking back, aren't we glad we didn't know?
Yeah.
All of
right.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah, I'm so thankful for his timing, because he knows when we're ready for that next step.
How do you think somebody who's just becoming serious about their faith generally perceives God? Is there a pattern for how we get to know him at that point?
I think you're still perceiving God in general as Father and Son, but I think it's as Lord and Master is kind of beginning to, you're beginning to understand that he is an authority, beginning to accept that he is the Master.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But Master is not a word I would have handled when I was at that stage, I don't think. That sounds way
probably
too...
God as authority.
Probably way too controlling, I would have thought, you know, and demeaning.
Yeah.
Well, more like the father figure.
Uh-huh,
Especially, Laura, you mentioned that he really was the friend to you, the buddy-buddy.
Yeah.
And I would agree with that, that was probably my perception, too, when I was growing up. But understanding that he really is the parental authority there, too,
yes.
The father figure.
Yes.
And again, if a person is coming from a background where there has not been a good father figure in the home, that can be very difficult.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And also when coming from a background of hating abandonment, you know, if you've had trauma in your life and you've had struggles with abandonment issues, when you get to that stage where's God? You know, you don't see him, you know, or I'll quote feel him all of a sudden, and there's like, he's abandoned me. What did I do wrong? What, you know, and it can bring up a lot of those kinds of fears of abandonment all over again, too. And I was thinking, even as the parent-child relationship, when the child is learning to walk, at this stage, they're able to walk. And I was thinking, you know, even at the very beginning of walking, how the child wants the parent, well, first, carry me. And I don't want to walk, you know.
Yeah,
or, you
up,
know, just,
up.
Yeah, up, up, carry me. And that sounds familiar.
yes, it does.
And yet sometimes, and then, no, you know, you stay here, I'll be over here. Now come to, you know, come to me. And
stretch
there
a little
are,
bit.
Yeah, there are times when the child will sit there and say, no, you know, you hold me. You know, I want you to hold my hand, you know. And sometimes that's a real difficult stage to get through, because you have to realize all of a sudden I need to take these steps. And I was just thinking in the trust part of faith, where there's that point where all of a sudden God is kind of conveying, okay, you take the first step, like with the River Jordan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You put your first foot in the water, then the waters will separate.
Yes. Well, that we have to kind of back up for level one, because I remember the sense of when Set Apart Ministries was in the process of birthing in the fall of 99. It was the sense that he was showing me these things, and it was like the Red Sea was opening in front of me and I could walk through on dry land. Mm-hmm. But it took some confidence, but nothing like what it's taking now. You know, so as you use that the Jordan, that example is the priests had to put their foot in the water first while it was at flood stage, mm-hmm. before he pushed it back.
Yeah, not even just put your feet in the water, but also at flood stage.
At flood stage. Yeah.
Let's up the ante here.
Yeah, so now we're hearkening back to level one and moving forward to level four.
It's a process. Well, and that goes back to the maturity level, because mm-hmm. we know that we do develop in the maturity level as illustrated in the life model, but there can be holes mm-hmm. in yes. each stage that have never been fully completed. And so it's not going to be, okay, I've completed this step and I'm going to go into the next one now and I'm going
overlap.
To completely
yeah.
I'm going
it's
to completely for, fill that one up. That doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. So there will be moving back and
yes.
forth.
As we're getting ready to conclude level two, we want to look at the relevant scripture. And we do think that all the scripture we've cited for level one would still apply in this situation. And we would want to add Mark 11:23-24. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says, he shall have whatever he says. Because of this I say to you, whatsoever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Our concern is that while we do believe this to be true, it's in this stage of faith development, it seems that there's a risk for over-spiritualizing what exactly yes. this kind of statement might mean.
Mm-hmm. And it's really important here to understand that whatever you ask when you pray doesn't mean that whatever I want and I pray it, I'm going to get it. It mm-hmm. needs to be within the Father's will, within his plan for me. And that's really important to understand.
And it would make a big difference in how you pray.
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And knowing scripture in general, all of scripture, context, you know, that you have to understand the full context of scripture. Not this. I think this is one stage where people tend to pick and choose, mm-hmm. you know, one verse here and there.
Sound bites.
Yeah, sound bites, you know, and I claim this verse, but in the way that they're claiming it can be out of God's will, because they're not looking at how it applies in general all the way around mm-hmm. in the full context.
So this scriptural support here also is part of the possible pitfall or
right.
the trap
yeah.
Yeah.
of being at this stage of development where you're beginning to take things seriously, but you may not have enough, what would we say, scriptural knowledge yet?
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.